Hey there, and welcome to another episode of Doing Life Differently. I am Caitlin, and I'm actually joined here today. I'm not by myself. I'm with Michael, my husband, Michael.
Hello, hello.
And we are going to talk about the thought of success and how we're teaching our kids to view it differently. That is actually a big conversation in our life because the school that we started an Acton Academy here in Richmond. There's a lot of underlying themes to this topic that align with what the school is all about when it comes to preparing young people for their future. And, you know, we're going to talk about that and how we're trying to build this into our children at home as well. So we're going to first dive into what do we view success like as kids? And I don't know if we've really even...
I don't think we've ever had this conversation.
No.
So come along with us as we figure this out.
And it'll probably be interesting because we both grew up in a small town together. We've known each other since we were tiny, like 2 years old. He was probably four. I don't remember that, but we grew up, started dating in high school. My dad was like the local small town pastor, and he was at our church for 32 years, which is like unheard of. But we just kind of had this idyllic childhood, kind of removed from a lot of the craziness of the world, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think we even knew that we were in this idyllic world until much later when we were adults. Yeah. And just thinking about success, like, I don't know. I mean, I'm bad even now, the Enneagram 7 in me. Like, I don't think about money that often. I don't remember thinking about money as a kid. We would go out to dinner and our family we were allowed to order soda or tea, and your family always had to drink water. Yeah. And I remember thinking like, oh, I wonder, they just must be healthy. But I mean, it would add like 10 bucks, 15 bucks to the tab when you got three kids and two parents and, yeah. So I'm trying to think through like what I remember growing up. My mom was a middle school art teacher. And so she had the summers off. And I just remembered realizing that like not everybody's mom was with them over the summer. And so like, I wouldn't call that success in high school, but like it was nice, you know, like
it was a luxury.
It was a luxury. Sure. And then my dad was a State Farm insurance agent of like his own agency. And so I remember growing up, his schedule was very flexible. Like if I had an event going on at school, like I knew my dad was going to be there. And not that I viewed that as like, oh, he must be successful because he can. It's so funny thinking about this right now. Like I've always appreciated it. And I remember thinking back, like I knew my mom wasn't going to come to things during the middle of the day because she was at school herself. I was the oldest boy cousin. And so I always got like the new clothes. Like there was nothing hand-me-down to come to me. And so did I think that was successful? I remember like all my cousins, like the five other boys after me, like I remember seeing my shirts and tennis shoes for them wearing. I don't know. That's so interesting. It's funny. The going out to dinner and your family drinking water, that's like the biggest. Because like thinking about it now, like your dad's pastor salary, and then your mom was a stay-at-home mom. And so, you know, there wasn't this overflow of funds.
No.
But I don't feel like you all wanted for anything either.
No, we didn't. And I don't remember growing up. The only memory I have of like thinking about money and success and where we were as a family, I remember driving down Devil's Three Jump, which is like this really strange name for a road, but it's a really well-known road back in our hometown. And like passing somebody's house and my dad being like, man, must be nice to just get a new pickup truck, that GMC, like every, it was like a four-door diesel. I forget what he said, but it was in the line of like just admiring that like someone could just buy a, you know, at the time a $50,000 truck. Now it's probably like $90,000 truck. And I remember thinking in that moment, like, oh yeah, like I don't think we can do that. We would never do that, but it's okay. Like we don't need to do that. And
you didn't think they weren't successful.
No, I didn't think we weren't.
As I'm thinking about it now, that would be another difference. The type of vacations that we went on, your family did like camping trips, which just are more affordable. But then they also, your parents were very big in like the experience.
Yeah.
Where my parents would rent beach houses.
Yeah. I never grew up like we knew about Disney. We knew about cruises. We knew about, but like we never desired to do that. And I think it's just, I don't know. I think our family dynamic, we really did enjoy being together. It was fun. And I think we enjoyed it when like you would join our family vacations and we were just very we were very content in like our, the dynamic of our life. And I feel like I never really had these thoughts until maybe college, where I started to really think through, well, how much money do I have to make to live? And
did you have to pay for college?
No,
I didn't either.
And that was, I remember having friends, such a luxury.
I remember having friends that would tell me like they needed to work to be able to pay for next semester. And I was like, oh man, like,
yeah. And then I feel like that's most people's reality. And like, I do remember, and not that this is supposed to be a whole episode talking about our like, oh, what did we think as
a therapeutic
children?
Session yeah, for us to work through.
Deep dive. But I remember, and I do think this made a big impact on me, that my dad's parents, so my grandparents on my dad's side, passed away when he was a teenager. So my mom never met them. I never met them. But Uncle Alvin and Aunt Margie, they were like fill-in parents for my dad once he lost his. And they had no children. They were super generous people and like really took in a few people kind of and made them feel like family. Two of them were judges in Alexandria where they lived. And so when those two judges passed away, they left everything to Margie and Alvin. So Margie and Alvin were loaded and they just... they took care of us. I mean, they bought us our clothes. They bought us shoes.
Like you would go back to school shopping with Margie.
Yeah. Yes. All of our clothes came from shopping trips with her. And, you know, looking back, I guess maybe their generosity kind of masked some of the things that maybe we would have lacked. I think because of them is how we were able to have a car to drive when I turned 16. And so anyway, I guess all that to say, we're realizing, thinking about our past, and like I never thought of success as like I've got to make it big, I've got to do this huge thing.
Well, and that reminds me of like your whole coming out of college with the photography business. What was your initial number? You're like, if I could make
$24,000.
I had just become a youth pastor in Richmond and was making, you know, comparable to like a high school teacher in Henrico County, which was like 40, maybe 50.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it was just the two of us, and we had a little mortgage on a little Cape Cod house, and
we were happy, and
yeah,
and that's all, you know, what I was making was extra. And so
I would say we thought we were successful.
Yeah, we could pay our bills and we had a roof over our head.
Yeah.
So I think there's a lot of people now, because of where we've grown to, that would wonder like, well, what are you teaching your children about success? And my hope is that I want them to experience my definition of success growing up, which I think was more rooted in happiness and contentment and family dynamic than it was in a salary and what we had. And, you know, I never thought to myself growing up, I hope one day I'm a millionaire. I never thought that. And I think it removed a lot of pressure from me.
Evie has said she wants to be YouTube famous, so.
Oh, dear. Oh,
we
gosh.
We might need to work on that.
We might need to work on that. Well, that kind of leads us into talking. There's 3 points. There's kind of 3 things that we're trying to focus on with our children. And it's interesting that we haven't really done any deep conversations about, like, how did we define success? I don't really remember thinking about it. I just knew that I had something to offer the world, and I didn't know what it was. And I think that if I had had this thing in my mind of like success looks like X, Y, and Z, I don't know if I would have taken a risk to start such a small business in college that then grew to something that I loved and was successful. Because I would have had this marker of like, but if it can't be a multiple six-figure thing, like my dad's salary or my...
Yeah. And I feel like that's how friends were in college. Like I have to go into marketing because I know... And I was that way. Like I remember thinking... I'm either going to be a teacher or I'm going to be a youth pastor. And like there was safety in that, that I knew how much I was going to get paid roughly. Yeah. I knew I'd have the summers off like my mom did. And I thought that was great. And I knew I could find a job. Like at that point, like who's not hiring male teachers? That was a real need
back then.
And I mean, it probably still is now. And so there was like a comfort in knowing, whereas there's a risk in a small business where it's like, I just need to make $24,000. I know if I book so many weddings at such a price, I can hit that. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think maybe because my definition of success was, I don't know, pretty, what's the word? Not small. It wasn't small.
Right,
it was just
not
different.
Based off the money.
No, it I just wanted to do, I remember having this strong emphasis on like, I don't want someone telling me what to do. I had this boss.
Yeah. Your internship.
I didn't like that I would design things and he would change it. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm sitting next to this woman who's been here for like 10 or 12 years and she designs something and uses her brain and then someone changes and tweaks it. And like, that's, she can't do anything about it. Like that's her life.
And she's capped at how much she can
make. She's capped. Yeah. She can't take on a few more projects and like get a big bonus if she wants to do a big trip. Like she can't do anything. She's stuck. So in my
mind, up that she was stuck.
I made up. Maybe she wasn't stuck. Maybe I think that's great for some people really like that.
Yeah.
But for me, I wanted, I guess success for me looked like freedom. Mm. And in some ways it looked like freedom for you too. For summers off and like,
yeah,
you know,
flexibility.
So when we think about our kids, how are we, you know, we are raising them with a different dynamic of like our reality from a career perspective is different than what we grew up with our parents. Our life is actually pretty strange. I mean, there's a lot of people that don't understand our life. You know, it seems like I just have an Instagram account and I work from home and I don't shoot 50 weddings anymore, 50 weddings a year anymore. And so like, what in the world do we do? And so as our kids get older, Evie's starting to ask questions. She's starting to understand more about business and life. And
well, there's more opportunities that she can experience that with you. Like
yes.
Going on engagement shoots.
Yes, or she wants to go to sessions.
Doing a brand shoot. Like yes. Watching that happen was really cool the other week. And
so one thing that we have been thinking about is that with our children, when it comes to helping them develop their view of success, the first point that I think we want to hit on is we're trying to make sure that we focus on failure before we focus on even talking about what success is, which sounds negative. But I think if you have a strong understanding of failure and a good relationship with failure, then I think it redefines success or your ability to find the success you long for in a different way.
Now, do you think you were taught this growing up? What was your relationship with failure growing up?
I don't remember. I never had a conversation about it that I remember with
like
my
with your parents.
Yeah. Like I don't remember, you know, Sarah Blakely, who started Spanx, she has this reel that's viral right now talking about how her dad would ask her every single week, what did you fail at? Mm. And if she couldn't tell him something, he would almost be disappointed. Like he wanted stories of failure. I thought that's awesome. I never had that.
Yeah, I feel like that's where we are now, or more so with our kids in Acton, and like that's more the
vibe,
the principle.
Yeah, like we're not looking for your success. We would just want to see you trying tons of things.
Right.
But I do remember when I started Caitlin's Crafts, and my parents, you know, they had no background in like craft shows or whatever. I feel like they were very. I never felt like ashamed if I didn't sell anything, or like they sat with me all day at a fair and not one person bought a single bowl. And I remember thinking to myself like, well, that was a wash. And like my dad sat there with me for the whole thing. And I just felt this freedom to just try things out without any shame of like, well, what if I don't do it well?
Do you think you were like Pollyanna-like? Like I sold three, like that's amazing. Whereas like in his mind, him and I might've been like,
oh gosh,
that didn't even pay for the gas to get us here.
I'm sure there was some of that at the beginning, but I did have a few craft shows that were pretty successful. And like everyone in our corner of like our little county bought snowman plates from me. And I think that, yeah. So I guess my history with success was that I had a lot of freedom to fail and I never felt shamed by my parents that like, well, if you're going to try to do this, it better be good. Like if we're going to do a craft show, you better sell something. There was never a feeling like that.
Do you remember quitting anything because of failure?
Yeah. I tried to do a scrapbooking company.
Oh yeah.
Do you remember that?
For the woman brought you like
Jonna's
boxes.
Mom, yeah. And I,
boxes of photos.
And they and just like, sat in my room for months and like it went nowhere. And I just couldn't find the motivation to do it. And then I couldn't understand like which pictures. It was just a total flop. And I also remember my mom never telling me like, hey, you've had that for 8 months. Don't you think that lady wants to know where her stuff is or like how the project's going? It's like my mom didn't say anything about it. She just let me fail.
Do you think that's the
great?
Do you think that's the creative brain? Because like my brain doesn't think like that. Like I think in my mind, looking back on it, I ultimately was looking for like safety and security in like what I knew. And then it wasn't until what the world might deem as success, like your business took off, that I felt like, oh, I can walk away from youth ministry and join you in this new ministry of weddings. And does that make sense?
Yeah.
Whereas you, there's like, well, that didn't work. Let's try something else.
Yeah,
I just feel like that's a unique way to think for most people. And I'm wondering, like, is that a creative thing?
Yeah, I think I was just wanting freedom more than I wanted familiarity. Is that the right? It's hard to say that word. Yeah.
Freedom from what?
Freedom from the boss telling me what to do. Mm. Freedom to just create my own reality.
And like if an idea was a flop, you would just try something else because you're not going to go to a 9-to-5. Like that wasn't even an option for you.
No. And like even now, as we are in just a different season of business, like I've never thought, and if things started to like dip, or I've never thought I'll just go get a 9-to-5. I'm like, oh no, I'll just build something else. That's right. The option.
Or you go to like the starving artist where like they are fulfilled in what they're creating, even if it's not
enough to financially provide.
Right.
I don't have that. I mean, it's gotta provide. I'm like, not gonna.
Or the school has to take off.
Yeah. The school's got to go somewhere for our kids' sake. Understanding what was our relationship with failure as a child and what are we instilling in them?
And I think that has been a process for us. I think just even as adults, you know, you still don't want to fail and there can be shame involved. And so just really trying to be cognizant of how we're communicating with them is a great process. And I think a lot of that comes from the school, mm-hmm. which is, you know, we have been doing marital coaching for years, and a lot of that kind of plays into the conversations that we're having at school. And a big part of that is the conversation about what worked and what didn't work. And so it's this, you know, you can look at the positives and negatives, and it's not even that it's negative, it's an opportunity to learn and grow from something. But you know, if Evie does a business fair, what was her project this year? She did
like graphic prints.
Oh yeah, yeah. Prints. She was drawing things and then realized, wait, this is taking way too long.
I could design in Canva and print it 10 times and sell 10.
Yeah, yeah, which was awesome. That worked. And what didn't work, I think, for her was like that she didn't sell out. And so it's like that could be, she could go down the path of I'm a failure, I didn't sell out.
Because other kids did.
Right, my friends sold out, but I didn't. And so, yeah, it is this fascinating conversation of like what worked, what didn't work, what's wanted and needed in the future. How can we try to make that not happen again? Or how can we address that is how we have those conversations at school mm-hmm. and then trying to incorporate that at home as well.
Something about Acton that we love is just it gives children the space to fail early, often, and cheaply. So they can fall on their face now every single day and fail at things, learn from it, fail again. And like, it's not gonna hurt them greatly. But falling on your face when you're 22 and you're getting ready to graduate, or just graduated college, that hurts a bit more. It's hard to bounce back from that. And so, you know, it sounds weird, but we want our kids to fail and we see opportunity in the failure. And everyone here does. All the Acton parents do, the guides do. And it's hard. It's hard to see your child fail because you think about it and it seems like this lofty idea of like, oh yeah, let them fail and then try again. But when you're sitting at an exhibition and your child's the one that's goofing off and not really paying attention, it's hard in that moment.
Or forgets what to say.
Doesn't do the work, or is like the only kid maybe that doesn't have a ton of badges on the wall. Or like, it's hard in that moment to be like, I'm letting them fail. Then you gotta decide, is that even failure, or is that their own timeline? Yeah. Are we being too lax? It's hard to trust the process. But I think as we see Evie reach almost 8 years old, we're starting to see that her relationship with failure is improving. She used to be crushed.
To crush her. To lose a game of rock, paper, scissors.
I mean, but to see that change in her, and that's been a hard fought like win for her. And I, you know, obviously this is her story to tell, but I think that focusing on putting them in situations where they can fail and will fail over and over and over again is only going to strengthen their ability to fail and see that failure is teaching them something and pointing them towards something else. And I want them to understand that more than I want them to crave to find a way to make six figures as an adult.
Right.
So another part of the story when it comes to success with our children is realizing that like what we put our emphasis and our hope and our definition of success in is ultimately going to impact their definition of success. So I know we talk a lot about Evie. She's just our oldest and she's pretty mature for her age. So I feel like she's the one that I always my brain goes to, but I always think when in lines of how is she going to view success? Like, well, what is she hearing me talk about? What's she hearing Michael talk about? How do her parents talk about our life in terms of success? You know, I don't feel like she hears a ton of conversations about income or income goals. It's more about, you know, she knows that we built this school. She knows that this was a, you know, this was our passion and our vision and our dream, but she doesn't ever understand that, like, you know, well, yeah, maybe one day, long time from now, one day it will produce some income. She views it as a passion. And I love that. I love that she knows that this was built out of a passion, not for profit. She understands that my business pays for our life. But again, I try to go back to, right, but there's so many people that we're helping. We're helping so many people build their own businesses. I want her to hear me talking about solving problems for people as something that I've been successful in, not that I've created a multi-million dollar business. She's going to know that eventually. She's going to pick up on that we have been successful financially. But I want the narrative from her parents to be that it's focused on how have we changed people's lives? Because that's the most fulfilling thing about business. When you can make money and change people's lives, there's like no greater way to spend your work hours.
Yeah, and it makes me think, going back to like how we do this in our home, like that's a question that we ask often, not necessarily how did you fail today, but like who did you help today is a good one, just because, you know, when you ask that enough times, they'll start looking for ways to help people, mm-hmm. to have something to answer that question, yeah. at the end of the day. You know, and I'm here, which is a blessing for us, but like getting to go over and be like, hey,
here,
I saw
here
you.
As in we're recording this at the school.
Yes, we're at the school in our great podcast studio.
Yeah.
But getting to go over to her and say like, hey, I saw you help that other learner. That was really awesome. It's just a cool way to see that. Another phrase that we use is go again. It's basically the idea of like, if you fall off the bike, get back on, just to practice like, hey, that didn't work. What worked? What didn't work? Okay, let's go again. Let's try again. You know, because if she doesn't sell out at the business fair, mm-hmm. is she never going to do another business fair? Like, I don't, she may not, you know, but we're going to encourage her to go again.
Go again actually came, that phrase came from actually marriage coaching of like, mm-hmm. well, what if we have a fight and like I take a risk and I'm like, hey, I want to feel more connected, and like he doesn't respond with that, or it blows up, and it's like, all right, well,
not gonna do that again.
No, we're going to go again. That's the phrase. It's like we're gonna choose to try again. Like you're in a marriage, and like you get the opportunity to go again. And so there's other ways. I think we're basically our definition of success, and the way that they define success. I think we both want it to be more holistic. So success isn't just about money for me and Michael. I feel like it's, what is success like in our family? You know, do we trust each other? Do we put Jesus first in the way that we live our lives together in our home? Can we talk about anything? Do we have relationships with each other that are open and really honest? Do we respect each other? So I think our success, I want it to define it in multiple ways.
And this is you're speaking to the entire family, not just you and I.
Right.
Like your relationship with you and Graham, do you trust each other?
And having a family where we can have this big fight and then we can all sit down and honestly work through it, tears and all, vulnerability and all, like that to me is a success marker. So I want success markers to be very apparent for them, that when I first think of success, I think our minds went to money and careers.
Yeah.
And I don't want our children to grow up thinking that their salary and how high level their job appears, that's their success marker. I think some other markers for success are we fulfilling God's dream, well, God's will for our life? Are we letting him use us where we are? Are we challenged and fulfilled in our work? I think that's important. Like, are we just kind of coasting, or are we pushing ourselves to lean into growth opportunities? You know, and I think that's important, because if you're constantly challenged in your work, like that's a successful way to spend your time. Instead of spending your time just to trade time for money, I think that's something we want our kids to be aware of. Like, you can choose that and that's okay. But if you're not challenged, then how are you growing daily as a person in your work?
Yeah. And it makes me think, you know, people hearing these things, it's like, that all sounds great. but what does that look like? You know, and you and I have done a lot of work in this, but it's like, man, going back to, do we trust each other? Like, that is, like, you can in your mind just say, of course I do, you know, like, of course my 4-year-old trusts me. But like, are you willing to have that conversation? Are you willing to go and risk and ask, hey, when is it hard for you to trust Dada? You know, is it, mm-hmm. is it hard when I have a tone, or when I am angry, or when, you know, whatever it may be, when I'm not quiet at church, or, you know, like,
yeah.
and just being willing to have those conversations. I think those are conversations that a lot of us avoid. And like, how do you measure, are we pursuing God's will for our lives?
Yeah.
You know, like, what, for us, I think that looks like family mission statements and checking in, like, what's working, what's not working. We say we want to be a hospitable family. Like, what does that look like in practice? How can we know if that's what we're doing? So yeah, I don't want this to come across as like this checklist of like, oh yeah, I'm doing that, or I don't even know how to do that.
No, it's like a constant curiosity that we have to be willing to dive into.
Yeah, and I think, you know, what a lot of people would define as success, and what I can slip into, is like busyness, you know, like, oh, they're so busy, they're doing so much. And I think,
yeah,
what would you, I mean, I think we slip into that some, and
oh, definitely. And we actually have a whole nother podcast we're supposed to record about busyness and marriage.
Oh, good. Yeah, stay great. Tuned.
Stay
like,
tuned.
Like
for
and
that.
Subscribe. Like, or is that, that's YouTube.
Like and subscribe.
Sorry, I'm new to the podcast world. Comment and
leave a review
or something.
But no,
we're professionals.
We do love, that is a whole nother podcast. That's actually what we're recording next, but. Anyway.
Oh, great.
Great. Yeah. We're going to talk about
well,
busyness.
I'm thinking about it.
Yeah. Great. but I do, there is something to be said about that. All this, you're right, can be viewed as, oh, it's so easy to just say those things. But like, even saying, you know, I'm looking at this list of ways that I define success for our family. Can we talk about anything? What does that even mean? It means like Evie being able to tell me that she thinks I'm X, Y, and Z, and me not get defensive and blow up at her, but like really yeah. hear her. Like, what if that's true? What if I am whatever she says I am? And can I honor my 8-year-old enough to not just shut her down and say, that was rude, you don't talk to your mother that way?
Yeah.
Or actually have a hard conversation with her. I think I just, in general, I want to define success for our kids as a big picture, multi-layered view of success. It is not, I think the world in a lot of ways, success is money, income driven. I think the world does have like a list of things that seems impressive. And I don't want the world's list of impressive things to be how my children define if they are succeeding in their own life or not.
Yeah, I think, you know, comparing themselves to others or thinking better of themselves, like I haven't experienced that, but like,
yeah,
as they get older, that may creep in of
like, I like where if you have humble and trustworthy and kind children that
and generous,
that love
that,
the
that,
Lord
that
and generous,
want to share their things.
Yeah. It's like, that's success as a
like
parent.
It's common for them to have a pool in their backyard. Their cousins don't have a pool in their backyard, but I, you know, that's not.
That they desire.
Does
to,
that make sense?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think that goes into the conversation of like, there are some things that we have that most people don't have. How do we handle that with them as they start to realize that we're constantly going back to the impact? And that's our last point, is highlighting our impact before they ever learn about income. Whenever there's a comment made about our home or maybe the pool, for example, it's a good example. Our default response is always, like, we were blessed with that because we're going to share it, yeah. You know? I don't know how many, we probably baptized 30 people in our backyard, and their families and friends and, you know, have come and witnessed that. And
hosted numerous parties and events.
Let people do their parties or church gatherings, school gatherings, or just our neighbors, like giving. You know, we joke that we should have membership fees, which we're not going to do, obviously. But we have college kids that will just show up at the pool in the backyard when we're gone for the weekend and just use it because it can be used. And I think our whole life, the goal is to point our children back to, right, we have this, and how do we use it? We've been blessed with this. What are we doing with it? I mean, the school is a great example. It was costly to start this thing. And I want them to see that their parents chose, instead of making sure they were pretty set for retirement, they chose to build a community for people to learn and grow in a certain way. It's just always about impact over the income.
Yeah, a different kind of investment.
You know, and in some ways, I think that there are going to have to be practical conversations. You know, Evie's been saying, you know, do we have $1,000? Do we have $1 million? Do we have, and I default back to saying, well, you know, I don't really know what we have right now, really, Ev, but I do know that
she's probably being truthful.
I'm probably being truthful. Yeah. I don't work with the finances, but I do know that like I have 100 photographers that I'm diving into like life and business stuff with this month, and it's life changing for them. Going back to showing her like these dollars represent people, and these people represent lives, and they have children, and they have spouses, and they have families, and your mom is building a business that is getting to change and impact their lives. Like that's the success. And it would be successful if those people didn't pay me what they were paying me, if it was a lower price point, like the privilege of being able to be in a position to use my story, my gifts to change other people's lives. I do feel like that's a definition of success that I will stand behind, that I want her to adopt as her own, if she will. I can't control that, but.
Yeah, I mean, I think ultimately it's powerful if you're willing to look at it. And even just sitting here having this conversation, like part of me, I can see like comments on Instagram of people being like, well, that's easy for y'all. You have the pool in your backyard. And, you know, growing up, it was like, if you were a two car family, like, oh, they must be killing it. You know, they have two cars, or how many TVs are in your house? Or I remember thinking about that growing up. And like, I feel like you're always going to have more than someone else. Like you're always, there's always a level.
Yeah.
I don't like, know what so I'm trying to say, but like just trying to.
Like if you feel like you're sitting there in this comparison of like, right, but what do I teach my kid who doesn't have this life? It's like, but you do have something. It's not about the stuff.
Right.
It's about, it is about the message behind.
Because like all of that. Your current reality
is
what it is. Mm-hmm. And you get to choose how you show up in that.
And for us, I could change at any moment. You know, it is not. Oh, yeah. I think what we are, things and possessions, like it's so easy to, it's, that's a great example, to slip into the world's view of success. And it's like, right, but all that can be gone. And what if it is gone tonight? We just had an earthquake here 2 weeks ago. I'm like, what if it is just gone tonight? Like, what do we teach our children about success then? If the house is gone, if the life that they've known is gone. And that goes back to the root of all this, is that I want their success to not be founded in things that their eyes can see, like material things, money, like things that other people don't have. I want them to see that living a life of humility and kindness and living a life for Jesus, like there's that success.
In relationship with other people and impact and purpose.
So I think in general, just to recap, first with our kids, we are, and obviously, well, let me say this. I think it's obvious that we're in the hard years of parenting. Our kids are almost 8.
We just had Christmas and they're already asking for more toys. And it's like, that's the last thing you need right now.
Yes. We're going to go on an experience-based Christmas next year, and there's going to be nothing under the tree. And on, I mean, that's a whole nother conversation, but yeah, I think we're still learning as we go. We are parents of an 8-year-old, a 5-year-old, 4-year-old and a 1-year-old. And poor Evie, you know, she takes the beating. She's the first one. We're learning with her. And she's a great one to learn with because she's just an amazing girl. But I do want to focus, if I'm recapping this, I want to focus on failure, which I feel like we're doing a great job with her. I feel like she's in a school setting that allows her to fail. I feel like we are working through failure and opportunities to thrive in your failures at home.
They're opportunities to learn from and to grow from, not to be devastated by or
shut down by.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the next step is figuring out, okay, we did a great job with her. Our boys are probably going to all be completely different in the way that they handle this. The next thing is that we mentioned was defining success, whatever their definition, it's going to be correlated to our definition. So how are we speaking about what really matters in life? How are we speaking about the real impact? Like, what am I most proud of in my business? Is it the income every month? She doesn't know what we make every month. I don't even know what we make every month, but she knows that we're impacting people. She's hearing about the people and she's seeing me respond to people in Facebook groups. And she's hearing about how I'm serving and not how much I'm making. And then last but not least, highlighting our impact before they learn about our income, which kind of goes hand in hand with the last one. But basically when our children start asking about income, when they're a little bit older, I am going to talk more numbers with her and help her understand. And she already knows what the cost of doing business is, but she doesn't need to go into the nitty gritty of all of our personal finances at 8 years old. But she does need to understand how we make money, how we impact people's lives, with the emphasis right now being on impact and less about income.
Yeah, I like that you mentioned that. And, you know, thinking through that everything is on a spectrum. And like, I grew up never thinking about or hearing about money. Mm-hmm. You know, and you just saying like, I want to have those conversations with her, I agree with. And I think it is, it's just a spectrum of like, how much do you share versus not share? Like, what are the pros and cons of sharing versus not sharing? Because you don't want them to be oblivious, but you don't want them to be like braggy about it either. You know, like mm-hmm. they know how much money mom and dad have.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's interesting.
Yeah. I think there's what age is that? I think though there's a level of it's going to be different for each kid, and I think that Evie, I want her to understand the profit and loss, like the business side, because if she understands the ins and outs of the business, it's one thing for kids to hear numbers about how much their parents make or how successful their business is, but like, why would a parent tell them that without also explaining, do you know how much we pay so and so to do this part of the role, this part of the job? Do you know how much it costs in health insurance? Do you know how much it, like giving them the full picture, because it's not fair for a child to, they need to see it all, I think. Not all at once, but gradually. Like if you're going to give them a peek into the income side, you also have to give them a peek into the expenses side,
right.
Which they're learning that through their business fairs. And that's a great correlation to be able to say, you know, when you created your business last year and you had to pay for X, Y, and Z, you reimbursed mama for these Amazon orders to make your product. I have those same expenses. They just look different.
Right. Did you really make $300 or did you have $200 in expenses and you actually only made $100?
Yeah.
But you're telling all your friends you made $300.
Exactly. And our goal in this, I think, was to share a little bit about...
What was our goal?
Our goal was to talk about success with our kids. And I think we did that, but we also derailed a few times, which is fine. But maybe you've never even thought about the topic of success and how you want to define this for your children. I do think it's one of those things that goes under the radar and then your children are grown and you're like, oh yeah, we never talked about that. I don't know what they think that I think success is. I never really talked about that with my family, and you don't think you talked about it with your family.
Yeah.
But I do think both of our families did have an underlying, like we knew that our life belonged to the Lord. Mm. And walking with him, I think, is our parents' definition of success for us, that we're following Jesus. And I don't think that they really care outside of that. And I know that that's not normal. I think there's even examples in our extended family of like, that our parents are unique in that. And that's such a gift to have parents that... I know as long as they want me to know and love the Lord because they know that's where peace and hope and true life is found, then everything else can just go as it may and like it will be okay. We talked about this recently with my brother and his journey with career stuff, and it's we've talked a lot about how having internal peace and freedom in your life, that has to be the first priority. Because if you kill yourself building a business or kill yourself trying to make it big, and you know the cliche line is like, but you lose your soul in the process. It's just not worth it. And I think that's the underlying goal that we have for our children, is that we want them to know that success is not defined by the world the way the world defines it. It's different for us. If you enjoy this, as Michael would say, like and subscribe. But you can leave a review, let us know, email us, and let us know what your thoughts are. Thanks for tuning in and joining us as we literally sit in one of the rooms at the school and talk about this season of parenting and what this looks like for us and our children. Michael will be on for another few episodes this year. And so actually, I think I don't know if we warned you, but you're on the lineup quite a bit. So,
oh, wow.
Yes.
We'll see.
Be prepared.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.